Welcome to today's podcast. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training, and today's topic will be on currently proposed healthcare reform bills. So, Shelley, healthcare is in the news again. Can you update us on recent developments?
Yes, Jim, healthcare definitely is in the news again. I think ever since we got done with the midterm elections, we've heard the Democrats talking about alternative proposals to the ACA. We recently saw them giving us some ideas about some changes they want to make, but the one that I want to talk about most today is the Texas lawsuit, and that's one that we've talked about in the past. The judge in the Texas lawsuit, he said that the whole ACA should be dissolved because there is no individual mandate anymore, but he did not make his decision binding. And the surprise we got recently was that the Department of Justice is now standing along with that decision saying, yeah, let's make all of the ACA go away. And that was two sentences that were recently released about that. So, yes, we are hearing a lot about healthcare in the news.
So, can you tell us more about the Democrats' proposals to improve the ACA?
Yes, that was something that the Democrats recently came out with, and they've got three things that they would like to focus on to help fix the ACA. They want to expand insurance subsidies, and right now, if you are an individual and you are earning more than $48,560, you're not eligible for any tax subsidies. So they'd like to increase that even more so more people get the money from the federal government. They'd also like to create a national reinsurance pool, and this would be to help those insurance companies that experience really high-cost claimants and need some help to pay for those. And if you remember, that was a part of the beginnings of the ACA. We just passed the ninth birthday of the ACA, and those reinsurance pools were created before we actually got the exchanges up and running in 2014. The third idea that the Democrats have thrown out is to reverse the Trump administration's regulations, specifically the short-term limited duration, because those are limited benefit type of programs that they don't really like or want.
So you said that there are alternative plans being presented. Will those replace the ACA?
They are looking at those to replace the ACA, so it's interesting to see that the Democrats are, number one, looking at ways to fix the ACA or expand it or override some of the changes that Trump has made recently, but they're also looking at all of these proposals. We've got 10 of them now, and those 10 are Medicare for All, single payer, universal health care, and various different themes related to that.
What kind of changes would we see among the 10 proposals?
Well, probably one of the most popular and one that came up at the last presidential election with both Bernie Sanders and with Hillary was variations on the Medicare for All, where they would want universal coverage for everybody in the United States, and they would find ways to pay for it. Some of the other things we're seeing is talking about an end to employer-based plans. So right now, over 50 million of us get our coverage from an employer-based plan, and they'd be talking about eliminating those altogether and putting everybody in some sort of universal coverage. We're also seeing talk about ending the individual market. So instead of having an individual in a group market, everybody would just be in one big group market, if you will. Another thing they're talking about is ending premiums. So that means that we wouldn't pay a premium for our health care. Obviously, Medicare isn't free. Health insurance isn't free. Health care isn't free. So obviously, our taxes are going to go up if we're not going to pay any premiums for our health care. And the last of the big proposals that we're looking at so far is to end cost sharing. So we've all been living with co-pays, co-insurance, and deductibles, and these proposals, some of them are talking about, well, okay, we can have some group plans, but we're going to eliminate all of those cost-sharing pieces, and you get the treatment that you need, and you don't have to pay anything in addition for it.
We still have quite a bit of time before we get to the general election in 2020. Do you think we will see other ideas emerge?
I do think we're going to see some other ideas. Recently, President Trump was talking about some of the proposals that he had made and some of the changes that have already been enacted to the Affordable Care Act. And his discussion was that there are some other proposals that are going to happen from the Republicans. So anxious to see what those are. And then I think we're going to see some variations on what we're already seeing, but maybe not a true universal coverage, but maybe buying into Medicare as an option along with group health insurance. I think when you read some of the polls, and Kaiser Family Foundation is one of them that did a poll recently that said, you know, all this talk is really good, but how is it going to disrupt what we're doing right now? How much is it going to cost us? And I think that you find the general public getting a little squeamish about, you're going to take away my health care from my employer, or you're not going to allow me to purchase something in addition on my own. So I think we're going to see lots of different variations that may ease us into this a little bit more.
What are your biggest concerns with these proposals so far?
Well, I'd have to say that number one on my list is cost. And that's one that, you know, people are throwing darts at the dartboard. And then when I say people, I'm talking about the Congressional Budget Office. I'm talking about all of the candidates and the current senators or representatives that are putting forth these programs are giving a cost estimate. But it's really hard to score these bills. You know, we know how much we pay for Medicare today. You know, we're paying over $700 billion in payments to private insurers. We have 58 million beneficiaries in Medicare. So if you do the math, that means about $1,000 in cost per month. And in addition to that, we would have those beneficiaries paying for Part A if it's necessary, Part B, and Part D. And nearly half of those who are offered Medicare today choose private insurance over Medicare. So I think the cost question is out there. Along with that comes the disruption. So if we move to some sort of universal health care and everyone is under one blanket, are we going to see some hospitals or some treatments go away, or access to certain hospitals go away? Another concern we have is transition time. You know, you said that we do have some time before we get to the general election in 2020, but specifically if we see the Democrats win in that election and they take the office in 2021, how quickly are they going to talk about transitioning? And think about how long it took us to become accustomed to the Affordable Care Act. Like I said, we're in year 9 right now. What happens if they vote on some bill for Medicare for All? Will the transition time be a year or 2 or 5 or 20? You know, there's various ways of looking at it to help spread out the cost, help ease people into it, help to have different choices along the way. And it's really too soon to know where we're going with that. And then one final thing I wanted to bring up is Finland was recently in the news. They are one of the countries that everyone has always looked at and tried to emulate. Finland, Denmark, Sweden, all countries very similar. All of them offer some sort of universal health care, as well as they pay for college for anybody that wants to go to college. Yes, they have higher taxes, but they don't have to worry about anything like we do. And recently, Finland said, you know what, we can't afford this health care anymore. We're broke. And they attributed a lot of that to the aging population. They have over 20% of their population that is over 65, and they're looking at that increasing in a more rapid pace, as are we. We're at the end of the baby boomer generation, but we still have a huge amount of people that are just going to be hitting Medicare and are going to be using up more health care. So it's a concern that Finland is having issues, and we're hearing that about other countries that do some sort of universal health care. So, you know, there will definitely be a lot to talk about in the future, and I'm sure we'll keep everyone updated as we get more data that we can share.
Great. Thank you, Shelley. That's a lot to think about. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. I would also like to make the following disclaimer before we end. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. So thank you, Shelley, and we hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, then please contact your account manager or salesperson. Thank you.